Deborah Mandel is an option method practitioner. She met her late husband, Bruce DiMarsico, the founder of the option method, when she was just beginning her studies as a fine arts major at Morris County Community College in Dover, New Jersey. Falling in love with Bruce, she left her artistic pursuits to begin a new personal life with him and to immerse herself in the study of the option method. Deborah worked and studied at Bruce's side for 27 years. She had published a book of her late husband's writings and several CDs of his lectures. Deborah's unique grasp and understanding of the option method affords us all a special opportunity to benefit from her intimate experience with Bruce and his teachings. She possesses a compassionate, healing kindness that touches everyone she meets and is always available to discuss the option method. Deborah has recently published a workbook entitled Be Happier Now, Your Personal Roadmap to a Life of Joy and Happiness. Deborah lives in Northern California, and she offers option method dialogues in person or by phone. She also offers individual training for those who would like to become an option method practitioner and share this unique method with others. As Deborah says in Be Happier Now, the option method workbook, there is no need to rethink, memorize, or adapt a new belief system or thought pattern. The option method presents a painless process that allows you to simply let go of self-defeating beliefs. So,
welcome, Deborah.
Thank you so much for having me.
Hi, Deborah.
Hi. What a delight to speak to you two. It's been so long since I've seen you, and it's great to be here today with you.
Well, it's great to be with you as well.
Absolutely. You know, it's in person or on the radio waves. Deborah, we might as well start off with a simple question. What the heck is the option method?
Okay. Well, the option method was created by my late husband, Bruce DiMarsico, back around 1970. He was studying all kinds of philosophies and self-help methods at the time, and it was really at the height of the human potential movement when he came into it. And he developed a series of questions that help one identify the beliefs behind your bad feelings. And these questions really sort of, if you imagine your emotional problems and difficulties as sort of like an onion, and these questions sort of peel back the layers of the onion and get to the core reasons that you're feeling bad, whether it's unhappy or sad or angry. You know, those emotions that you're just feeling like, oh, I'm done feeling like this, but I don't know how to get out of it. And that's what the option method's about.
Okay, so could you tell us the four questions?
Well, yeah, there's basically, you know, four or five questions depending on how you ask them. And, of course, you want to start with the first question is, what am I unhappy about? It could be, you could be angry, you could be sad. So you would ask yourself, what am I sad about? What am I mad about? What am I upset about? And this is what's wonderful about the method. Whether you're working just with yourself or with a practitioner, it's really important that you just use your own words. So you would kind of fill in the blanks of, what am I blank about? Whatever that bad feeling is.
Mm-hmm.
And the next step is to clarify that. Sort of, what do I mean when I say, well, I'm mad with my wife. Well, what do I mean? And you kind of get down, you know, distill it more. And once you've distilled it, you want to ask the next question, which is, what is there about that I'm unhappy about or angry about? And you clarify that a little further. The next question would be, well, why am I unhappy about that? And again, it's a process of clarifying, and I outline this in my workbook. It's on my website. I mean, I've put these questions out there for everyone to see. You can find it, you know, without purchasing a book. And the next question you would ask yourself is, when you've, you know, clearly have identified what you're unhappy about, why you're unhappy about it, the real, you know, critical question that you will eventually get to is, what am I afraid would happen, or what am I afraid it would mean if I were not unhappy about it? And that's the one that really is unique to option, and it really makes everyone think. And sometimes when you're using the method, especially for the first time, you just have this kind of, kind of a dumbfounded feeling. And that's quite natural, because it's probably a question that you've never heard before or never even considered. And finally, when you identify what you're afraid it might mean or what you're afraid might happen if you weren't unhappy about something, then you'll have an opportunity to actually look at that and see if it's true. And the last question would be, well, why would it have to mean that? And it's basically, you're questioning that fear that you've had to not let yourself be okay or happy, or at least be okay in the moment, because you're afraid of something. And this is what the option method helps you do. It's a little hard to follow by just, you know, me enumerating the questions, but if you sit down with yourself and ask these questions, and they're out there on the internet and in the books, you'll begin to realize that it really makes people consider and think about what they've been unhappy about and why. And I've never found that it hasn't worked.
That's a pretty impressive statement.
I remember.
So just to clarify, Deborah, the first question is, what am I unhappy about?
Exactly.
The second question is, what do I mean?
Well, the first question is, what am I unhappy about?
Mm-hmm.
And once you've really clearly expressed that in a way that satisfies you, then you would ask, what is there about that that makes you unhappy?
Okay.
And then the
third question is, why am I unhappy about that?
Why am I unhappy about that?
And then the fourth question is, what am I afraid of?
Well, what are you afraid it would mean if you were not unhappy about it? Or another way to ask that is, what are you afraid might happen if you were not unhappy about that? I can give you an example. Say someone's unhappy, they're upset with their husband or wife, and they're mad about something. Say the wife is mad with the husband, and the husband's feeling bad and very unhappy about it. And once he looks at his reasons, he may come to realize, well, if I'm not upset about her being mad at me, then what I'm afraid would happen is she'll think I don't love her. She'll think I don't care. And maybe if I'm not unhappy about it, I won't even apologize to her, say, something like that. These are kind of some of the simple reasons that people have for sticking with these bad feelings, but they don't realize they've actually got a reason to feel bad, and they haven't questioned it.
So, Deborah, what happens if they admit then that, well, I'm afraid then that that my wife or my husband will think I don't care? What do you do with that?
Well, in that example, you get to question that and ask yourself, well, if I'm not unhappy that my wife's unhappy with me, does it really mean that I don't love her? And that's where the last question comes in. Would it have to mean that?
Okay, so this sounds like it actually could just totally revolutionize the way relationships occur in that example.
Oh, pardon me, could you repeat yourself?
In other words, it would be then a matter of the two of them discussing, if I don't show upset, then we're going to have to learn that this is an okay thing, that this doesn't mean I don't care.
Well, exactly. If someone's, say in my example with the husband, who's feeling bad that his wife's mad at him, if he's not upset that she's mad, if he's you know, one certainly isn't thrilled that one's wife is upset with you, but if he's at least okay that, you know, and allowing, yes, she can be upset. I don't feel bad that she's upset with me. He'll be free to say something like, oh, honey, I care about how you're feeling, and I still disagree with you, or, you know, this doesn't mean that I don't love you. So he'll be free to express whatever might help, you know, with the argument or the disagreement or whatever. If he's not all wrapped up in feeling terrible and feeling badly that he has now gotten upset with her, that he has gotten her upset, or that she is upset with him. So what it gives you is, if indeed there's anything he can do in an you know, a personal situation like that, an argument, he'll be relieved of feeling bad about the situation, and there'll be the added plus of, well, maybe he'll be able to say something that might put her at ease, that will at least give him the satisfaction that he's expressed how he truly feels, which is that he loves her, he doesn't like that they're having a problem, and he would like to have some kind of solution.
So then they would need to kind of reestablish what different reactions mean in their relationship.
Of course. I mean, yeah. If at least one party in a relationship is not having an emotional problem and unhappy about a disagreement, well, there's more potential for a resolution. Mm. And in fact, I found in working with people that very often in close relationships, when one party's not unhappy about a situation, sometimes it just throws the other person off, and they're like, oh, wait a minute, you're not unhappy about this, you're not upset about this, and suddenly it throws everything off balance, and there isn't so much a fight, but now there's the potential for an actual dialogue and real true communication.
Sure, because it's really different, a whole different thing from the way people usually are. I mean, it gets into being able to be more real.
Well, absolutely, because usually people, you know, when someone's mad at you, often our reaction is, you know, a very defensive, you know, mode where we're trying to, you know, put our own dukes up and say, wait, you know, because most people do feel badly when someone they care about is upset with them. But if we rid ourselves of that and allow someone to be as they are, there's, you know, it just changes the whole dynamic.
Yeah, the whole dynamic is different then.
Right.
Yeah, we run into that quite often with people who feel that they must be unhappy about. Because there are terrible things going on in the world.
Oh, that's true. That's true. And you know, I think I joked with you about this when I first met you, that, you know, it's not that option tries to help you see that everything is fine. And it's not sort of a method of optimism. But because there are things that happen that most of us will agree are how do I say it politely? They stink. You know, stuff happens that many of us would say are, you know, are undesirable situations. But
right.
At least we can look at, do we have to feel badly that it's happening? Do we... and can we feel free to object to something without being angry and or hostile or, you know, feeling a bad feeling inside? Can we still stand up for ourselves and be expressive without being upset and see what's going on in the world, but still feel good about ourselves.
You find people are able to make this adjustment.
Pardon me?
You find that people are actually able to make this adjustment between the two of them. So if you prefer in that situation to work with a couple, or can you work with just one?
Because I work strictly with individuals because that's what
individuals.
It comes down. That's what it comes down to.
Because I can see somebody, you know, basically saying, "What? You're not upset that I'm upset?"
And that has happened to people that I've worked with. They've reported back to me and said, "Oh man, she was so pissed that I wasn't getting angry," you know. but you know, what's the alternative? I'm not promising that if you use the option method for yourself, you'll have a perfect marriage. But at least if you're having difficulties, you'll feel better. And, you know, the door will be open for someone else to come along with you.
It sounds like it's a great method to use when intense emotions come up. And perhaps communicating during that intense emotion would not be as efficient as if you could or someone could apply these particular questions and get down to the, you know, like you said, the center of the onion and communicate through that.
Yes.
Instead of the intense emotion.
Well, that's true. It's useful for that. It's really... I found it useful for many things. I once had a client years ago who, in the middle of a session, he started to talk about his insomnia. And we looked at that using these questions. He talked about his fears of because he didn't sleep, he'd get up late, he'd be to work late, and he went all over the place. And this is what's wonderful about this method. It's very client-directed. If someone's working with you, a good practitioner just repeats your words back and uses the questions with your words, never projecting or judging or assuming that they know what you mean. And the talent with a good practitioner is to draw it out of you. And at any rate, he must have spent maybe 15 minutes talking about his insomnia. And then he went on to something else, and he came back to see me the following week because something else was bothering him, and he just said, "Oh, by the way, I don't have insomnia anymore." And that was a delightful surprise for me also. I mean, I had no idea whether it was something that was resolved for him or not. I just followed his lead, and it worked out.
So how do you think he cured his insomnia through the option method?
Well, I think he looked at his ultimate fear, and it was, if I recall, now it's been years, it was related to work and fears about disapproval and not doing his job well and ultimately losing his job. And he did get a chance to look at what he'd be afraid of and why he felt he would have to be unhappy if he lost his job. And once he did, he realized that he had been believing that he would have to feel badly if he lost his job, but that, in fact, was not true. It was just merely something that he assumed to be true. And this is where the option method brings you. It helps you come to the point where you identify a belief that you've merely assumed or taken on. Maybe something you've learned since you were a kid, something you heard when you were very young, and, oh, well, of course you have to be unhappy about that, or of course you have to be mad about that. And the option method helps you identify those kinds of beliefs that invariably, I mean, I've never had a person say to me, "Well, no, I do really have to be mad about that." I mean, everyone looks at these beliefs and they always say, "Oh, well, no, that's not really true." And so that's why I say it's not a matter of you have to take on a new way of thinking or develop a mantra or a thought for the day kind of thing. It's really about dispelling all of these sort of mythical beliefs that we've been living with that we just aren't aware of.
So I have a big question here. So does option method assume that most of those beliefs are based in fear? So any type of negative emotion that you start off with in question number one, does the option method assume that that is stemming from the root of fear in one way, shape, or form?
Well, I speak about fear, but really what Bruce recognized in people is that the number one thing that he felt caused any kind of unhappiness in people was what I like to call future fears. And it's that belief that sometime in the future, down the road, we're going to have to feel bad in some way. And I think, you know, the way you can imagine that is if you think about anything you've worried about, if you say what starts with something positive like, oh, you'd like to have a new boyfriend, and before you know it, you're feeling bad that you don't have a boyfriend. Well, that's because you're afraid that in the future, if you don't get that boyfriend, you will feel bad. So all unhappiness, as he understood it, is based on the fact that you're going to be unhappy in the future. And then that, in that way, that's what I'm talking about when I talk about fear. Fear of essentially future unhappiness.
Hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. It's quite a remarkable method. How did Bruce come up with this?
I think it was partly based on his own personal quest for happiness. He grew up in a difficult household. His father actually was alcoholic, and he was the first born. He had a brother, but being the first child and the first son, I think that he had it awfully rough. And when his father would come home drunk, he would invariably beat his sons, and he had an unhappy, you know, a rough childhood. And I think he always felt different, and he was always looking for a spiritual peace. He was originally studying to be a Catholic priest, and he looked into the monastery for answers, but there were none there. And then he, of course, leaned towards other philosophies, Buddhism, and he still loved Catholicism and the spirituality he found in Catholicism, but eventually went towards the psychologies, and it just kind of evolved for him. He started to work as a therapist, and he started to recognize that what people were unhappy about were not the things he thought they'd be unhappy about. He loved all kinds of philosophies, and I think he kind of developed this almost Socratic method that really helped to draw people's beliefs out.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. It does sound very Socratic in a way. Is this being taught at the universities, or is there a group of people that do the option method? Is there an option method society?
I would love there to be an option method society. That's a great idea. What there is, though, is I did create a while back, actually, a student of Bruce's contacted me and said, gee, you know, I want to promote Bruce as the creator of this and sort of get people together. And we did create a website called the Option Method Network, and there's a handful of people there that are teaching it around the country. But there's also people in around the world. I was just in Holland last year doing a weekend workshop with some people who were actually taught by a student of Bruce's. Most of these people were taught by Barry Neal Kaufman, who was a student of Bruce's and created something he's called the Option Institute in Massachusetts. He has since changed the name of what he teaches. He does not teach the option method, but the basis of his work came from what he learned from Bruce. And so I met these people in Holland, and evidently the Dutch love this sort of thing, and they were delightful to work with. So there's a scattering of people around. It keeps hanging in there. I hope that you, you know, speaking to me today will help, you know, promote it more and more, because it's just this tried and true method. Currently, I do training, and other students of Bruce's do training, and of course, everyone who falls in love with this method, you know, loves to share it with others. So you will find some people on the Option Method Network site. And more people are writing books about it. A colleague of mine, Wendy Dolber, who actually studied with Bruce when he initially introduced the method in New York City, has just written a book called The Guru Next Door. And this book is based on her personal experiences with Bruce as being a student of his, but also it's sort of like a mixture of fiction and nonfiction. She's created a wonderful story based on a young girl who lives next door to this man who is modeled on my late husband. And she comes from a very distressed home life, and she discovers this wonderful, mysterious man living next door who is just gives her this unconditional love, this little bits of wisdom that help her realize over time that, you know, she's not making her mother unhappy, she's not a bad person, and it's a delightful story that she's actually, it's in print right now, it's being printed as we speak.
And how do other psychologists feel about the Option Method?
Oh, well, I've heard a lot from many different people in the field. I just met, and I don't know if you've met him, Richard Banton, these last few years. He's a sociologist. He's a social worker. And he works with actually sex offenders who are required to do a certain amount of group, you know, therapy type work as their part of their sentence, and, you know, before they get released. And he has found that this work is basically, it's been the only thing that's worked with his clients. He said to me, how do you work with someone who is basically, you know, has been, everyone in society says, you know, you're bad, you must hate yourself, we hate you, you know, what do you do with someone like that? How can, and his goal is to help people, that's what he's there for. So he loves it. I find social workers, coaches, I even have a friend who's a chiropractor. He says he does more Option Method than chiropractic work lately. because he says, you know, there's so much tied into the body and emotions and, you know, worries and tension. And so people from all professions find this method very practical.
Yeah, and easy.
Well, that's true, and I've talked a lot about professionals, but really, Bruce designed this so that people can help themselves to feel better. And for that reason, you know, I've put the questions on the Internet, and I've even written some articles on the Internet that kind of give you a little step-by-step guide to get you started on trying it for yourself, and that's what it's about. It's helping people to help themselves to feel better in life.
And how does Option Method differ from other kinds of self-help methods or therapies?
Well, I think the basic difference is that it's really a client-centered work. An Option Method practitioner is not there to give you advice. He's not there to try to help you succeed in life. And he's just really there to guide you, and I think the major difference is that, you know, we really, practitioners really believe that it's about your beliefs, that that's what makes you unhappy, and your belief that you're going to have to be unhappy in some way in the future, and I don't know of any other therapy that does that. I mean, it's been compared to a lot of people who like NLP seem to be drawn to the option method, people into cognitive therapy. I've had people say, oh, this is like Byron Katie, you know, and her stuff, what does she call it, The Work. Byron Katie's The Work.
Right.
So there are similarities, but it's tough to describe the difference. I just think it really gets to the core issues, and in a painless way,
and rather quickly.
Yes, when I work with someone, a session for me is an hour. An hour is plenty to look into any number of things that people are upset about.
What are the most popular topics that people use the option method for?
Well, I think lately people are talking about issues about money. A lot of people have a lot of concerns about money. And something interesting has happened lately because the option method has been mentioned in several of these new books out about The Secret. And this gentleman, Joe Vitale, has written several books, one called The Attractor Factor, another one recently called The Key. And so he's been promoting option. I've been getting calls from people who are trying to follow the path of The Secret and bring abundance into their lives. And so I think now that people are looking more at, well, what am I doing that's affecting what comes into my life? I think it's a slippery road because I think sometimes it becomes the new stick that we beat ourselves with. You know, what am I doing wrong that I'm not successful? Well, you know, we're not in control of everything, but we are in control of how we feel. And so people have, I think the big issues are money and relationships.
So if someone wants to be a client, do you do it all on the phone or do you do it face-to-face? What's the ratio?
Well, since I've been out here in this beautiful area called the California Delta, I've been working mostly by phone, and it has been marvelous because, oddly enough, I find the phone almost creates a very... almost more of an intimacy because there are no physical distractions. No one can look at me and say, oh, she's writing something down or she's tapping her foot. You might think that there'd be physical clues, you know, that I might miss, but with this method, it just works so well just over the phone because it is a dialogue process. And I'm having great results. Although people are welcome to come out to the Sacramento area to see me, but it does work very well.
It sounds almost like it's a kind of a, you're doing it as a kind of like a coaching thing, kind of like the way Amy and I work with clients on the phone.
Right, exactly. Exactly. In fact, some practitioners are also coaches.
Mm-hmm.
Bob, would you be willing to do a dialogue with Deborah with the option method about something that you're unhappy about?
I don't think he's unhappy.
I was thinking of that, and the problem I have is I can't find anything I'm unhappy about. How about you, Amy?
No, Bob, come on. Let's use something from your past.
From my past?
Yeah, when you were unhappy.
Oh, dear.
It's been so long, he can't remember.
What about getting released from UC or the Pacific Med School or whatever, wherever you were?
Everything has been so resolved that I'd sort of be faking it.
That's difficult. You know,
we can't fake it.
No, it's very hard to do role playing with the option method because I don't know why, but it's just it doesn't work. I don't know what else to say. It doesn't work. Maybe because it's just so pure and simple. it just doesn't work very well if you're not really upset about something.
You know, the only thing that I could come up with is that I do feel kind of bad that I don't have anything I feel bad about.
Oh. All right, let's go with that. Can we do that, Deborah?
Well, we can try. I can't make any promises.
All right, let's try it out.
Okay.
Okay, Bob. Go.
Yeah,
let's
I really do. I feel bad because, you know, I know that Amy wants me to do the demo here, and I just don't have anything that I feel bad about, so I feel bad about that.
Well, what is there about the fact that you can't come up with anything for the demo that makes you feel sad?
I feel sort of like I'm letting her down.
What do you are?
I am.
See why I don't work with couples?
That's a good demo on that one.
Yes. Well, what is there about letting her down that makes you feel bad? You see, I'm trying to clarify this.
Well, I feel that if I were really a good partner, I'd be able to do it, you know, and being unable to do it makes me feel kind of, I don't know, inadequate, bummed out.
So even though you'd like to be a good partner and, you know, come meet her on this task, why do you feel bummed out that you're not going to, you know, give her what she wants here?
Well, because I'm not meeting her expectations.
What is there about not meeting her expectations that bothers you?
Well, I hate to disappoint people.
You hate to disappoint people? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
And what is there about disappointing people that you...
Well, they're gonna feel bad, and I'm the cause of it.
They're going... If you disappoint people, let me see if I understand you.
Right.
If you disappoint people, they're going to feel bad, and you will be the cause of it?
Right.
I'm very tempted to ask you if you believe that. Do you believe that if you disappoint people, that you're the cause of their feeling bad?
Well,
And give me an honest answer. That's a real question.
Maybe I feel I should feel bad about that. If I were the right kind of person, I would feel bad if I thought that.
Mm-hmm. Well, why do you believe that if you were the right kind of person, you would feel bad?
Well, because you know, if I'm the cause of their being disappointed, it would seem like if I don't feel bad about that I'm an uncaring person.
So you're saying that if you don't feel bad about it, then you're an uncaring person.
That's it.
Would it have to mean that? If you know that you've, say, in this example, you've let her down.
I let her down.
And you don't want to let her down.
I don't.
But you can't come up with a problem.
That's right.
And she's going to get upset.
Yeah, and feel bad.
And if you're not upset that she's upset, does that mean that you're an uncaring person?
Well, I guess maybe it just proves it to her. It doesn't mean I have to, but my being upset lets her know that I'm not uncaring.
Mm-hmm.
See?
What are you laughing at?
She's crying.
Oh, that was my cry.
Yeah. Oh, that was your cry.
Yeah,
oh.
She was crying because
okay,
I let her
so,
down.
But did you hear what you said? You said that if you were not... If you did not feel bad that you let her down, it would mean that you were an uncaring person.
Yeah, and by being feeling bad, I'm letting her know that I am a caring person.
Right. Couldn't you just tell her, couldn't you just express to her that you care and you wish you could come up with a problem, but you can't right now, and it doesn't
Well, that's
mean...
a good idea.
Yeah.
I could do that.
So, but the question is, does... What you want to look at is, does it really mean that you don't care if you don't feel upset that you've disappointed her?
Well, I guess not, because my feeling upset was just sort of created. I created that.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
you know, just to demonstrate that I'm caring.
Right. Well, and well, but you also created it because you really cared so much.
Yes, that's true.
You cared so much that you felt guilty that you weren't coming up with a demonstration problem.
Exactly.
Right. Do you still feel sort of guilty or badly that you didn't come up with a really good demonstration problem?
Well, actually, no, because I think I let her know that.
Right. Oh, and by the way, you came up with a really good example. And see how quickly you came to, but if I wasn't upset and feeling badly about disappointing her, it would mean I didn't care.
Yeah.
And that is so often the crux of many people's unhappinesses. It's that even with between them and themselves, well, if I'm not upset that I don't have the job I want, you know, it means that I'm lazy, I'm no good, I won't care about it, I won't do anything about it. And so in that way, we sometimes use unhappiness kind of as a motivation.
Yeah, and just create the upset in order to make a demonstration for the other person.
Right. And yourself, too, sometimes.
And that's right. And to prove that to myself, too.
Yeah.
You're right.
Because sometimes we'll do this and the other person never knows. I mean, how many times have we gone into our room and just sat there and, you know, cried or eaten worms, you know? I think, oh, I'll just go eat worms, you know? And no one really knows, you know, and we're just, you know, upset alone. So did that satisfy you, Amy?
I don't know. It kind of, you know, maybe a 5 out of a 10.
Yeah. Well, you know, if that doesn't satisfy you, I don't feel bad. I'm sorry.
Well, does that mean you don't care?
No, I care, but I don't feel bad.
Oh, I see where you're going. Well, are there any new workshops coming out with the option method? Deborah?
Oh, I wish I could say that I have one happening on, you know, March 14th, but I don't. I have an open schedule right now. Actually, I'm working with two of my students on another book, and I've been very busy cataloging and copying old audio tape recordings of Bruce's lectures from days gone by. So, but I'm always open to start something, and I have, you know, my contact information on my website for people that, you know, please, if they'd like to have a guest speaker, or if they would like to get together a group of people who would like to have a workshop, which is kind of what happened to me in Holland. I went there just kind of on a goodwill mission, and there were so many people wanting to meet me, I just said, well, let's turn it into a workshop. So I'm open for anything, anything that helps to share this method with people and get it out there and help more people find out about it who could find it really useful in life.
So you're open to different options.
Exactly.
To teach the option method.
Yeah, well, you know, Bruce had a hard time naming this method because, well, he loved words and the study of words, and he kind of felt the DeMarsico method just did not sound very good. So he came up with option because the word option implies choice, and he just felt that we had a choice in life and how we felt, and we didn't have to feel any way we didn't want to feel. And he actually believed that our natural state in life is a more happy, peaceful one, and that if we just dropped all of our negative, you know, false beliefs, our beliefs in unhappiness, that we would be left with our natural happy state.
So have you achieved sustainable happiness yourself through utilizing the option method?
Didn't I put down in notes not to ask me that question? I'm going to answer that with, partly a joke, which is that Bruce always said, none of us are more unhappy than we can stand. You know, in other words, we're only unhappy as much as we can take it. And I'd say most of my life, in my daily life, I'm pretty happy. Option can't make you be happy. Nothing can make you be happy. So it really is up to you. I'm reminded of a story Bruce used to tell about, he was at one of these conferences, back in the late 60s, where, it might have been at Esalen, I'm not sure, and everyone took a break for lunch, and he was sitting next to a woman, he looked over at her, and she had this staple in her ear, a staple, like a big staple. And he couldn't resist. He said, pardon me, madam, but do you know you have a staple in your ear? And she laughed, and she said, yes. And he said, okay, so what's it about? And she said, well, it's kind of like an acupressure thing. And she said, when I wiggle it, it reduces my cravings for food. It's like it suppresses my feelings of hunger. And he said, that's wonderful. Does it work? How is it? And she said, well, it only works when I wiggle it. So the option method is much like that. It's a philosophy and a system that, of course, it's only going to work if you use it.
Mm. I can Good understand point. That. Can you share with us a success story that you've had with one of your clients?
Well, I can think of one example where a woman I spoke with, she was a nurse, and she was unhappy in her marriage because she wasn't getting what she wanted in the relationship on an intimate level, but her husband was also having medical problems, and he was having a lot of medical problems, and she felt that how could she possibly leave him, given the fact that he had, not only was she a nurse and he had medical problems, but they had a son, and there were so many factors and reasons that would, society would say, and even, perhaps she would have to say in the past at least, that she should stay in this relationship, and she was very unhappy that feeling very guilty that she couldn't figure out how she could leave him, and really after doing a session or two with her, she came to realize that really the best thing in her life would be to leave him, that she could leave him in a very positive way, the most positive way possible, and no one had to feel the worst for it. But she had it so, she was so convinced in her mind that she was going to be ruining everyone's life. And to this day, she still has contact with the ex-husband. Her son has regular visits with the ex-husband. Everyone has ultimately been better for, her choices. And, of course, she's handled the whole situation better, especially in relationship with her son, And she hasn't projected any of the unhappy beliefs that she was having about the father and, the breakup of the family that she had before she did the session. So I would say that was a great success story.
Yeah, that sounds really inspiring. Will you please tell our listeners what your website is, Deborah?
Well, I have a new website, and that is choosehappiness.net.
And there's fantastic.
Choosehappiness.net, and there's also the optionmethodnetwork.com, optionmethodnetwork.com. And I'd really encourage people to keep an eye out for thegurunextdoor.com. I think it'll be really exciting when the book comes out. Hopefully it will be in March sometime. And there's also option method books on Amazon.com.
Wonderful.
There are other authors. Mandy Evans has written books on option. Peter Spinagatti was a student of my late husband's, and he's written books. Frank Mosca. So if you do searches for option method,
you'll find tons of resources.
You'll find things.
Thanks, Deborah.
Thank you. Bye now.
Bye.
Bye-bye.